And we got Aaron on the line, Aaron Carpella, and I'll have him introduce himself. And I'm excited because I want to know a lot more about the maps and how it got started. He's done wonderful. I can just see a nice photograph here of him holding his map that he's put together with all the traditional names of places here in the Turtle Island. So good evening, Aaron.
Good evening.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. Yo, Diginali, how is everyone? My name is Aaron Carapella, and like you said, I've been working on this for quite a few years, and I have a lot more projects ahead, hopefully.
Yeah, so can we talk a little bit about how this one got started, or share a little bit about who you are? I can read what you sent me. It says here, my name is Aaron Carpella. I have always had a calling towards my native side ever since I was a young child. Growing up in California, far away from my Oklahoma Cherokee roots, I was intrigued with the story of only, I don't know how to say that, only the Cherokee people. What's the, how to pronounce that word?
The word for the Cherokee people?
Yeah.
It's Aniyumwiya.
Aniyumwiya. Does I get it right?
Yep.
All right.
Pretty good, yeah. Aniyumwiya.
Yeah. But also the many other tribes. As I got older, I got involved with the Tungva, which I know those folks, people of California, and the Apache-man nations of Orange County, California, learning their struggles as unrecognized people. And from there, eventually joined the American Indian Movement and met other Cherokee people who taught me about the traditional way of life. It says here, at age 19, I started developing a map, wow, of the indigenous nations of the United States, utilizing their traditional names for themselves and documenting even the smallest and most obscured of tribes to bring back their memories and honor native perspective of pre-contact America. Along the way, I earned my bachelor's degree in marketing at Indian Tech and now reside back in the state where my grandparents were born, in Warner, Oklahoma. I have a fiance, Whitney, and a 4-month-old son, Sequoia Nighthawk. We are raising him in the Cherokee language. I continue to develop more maps of Native America that bring honor to the truth of our collective and individual histories. Wado. And so that's amazing. So, and I know just talking to you, I know as you travel, people are telling you a little bit more, and so you have to update these maps.
Yeah, definitely. Even on the maps themselves that I send out to people, there's a disclaimer on there that says, you know, any discrepancies that one might find, you know, please don't hesitate to let me know. You know, I do get suggestions, although there's less and less as these maps have been out for a while now. But you know, when I do get a suggestion for maybe like a change in the spelling of a name, or people ask me to shift a tribe over slightly or whatever it might be, I make sure that I get with my graphic designer and get him to make that change right away. Because that's important to me. You know, it's kind of like without the project being out there for the public to see, some of this feedback would never come, you know. So it's just kind of a work in progress, and probably will be for, you know, years and years to come, just because there's just so much information on them.
Yeah, it's a major healing also along the way, both with your lineage and of America. I mean, to get these names out there, I was telling you we were involved with the Restore Native Names here in this area, mm-hmm. and we need to start calling these places by their original names, and I think this is an amazing piece to that puzzle. To be able to look at a map and like, whoa, yes, that's what the original people called this area before it became the America. And I think it is a huge honoring, and it's it also gives us, I think, Native people a chance to learn. I know I'm learning the pronunciations of the names in the states, and I think it's great.
Yeah, I really at some point would like to take this project to an interactive level. And the graphic designer that I'm using now, he's a really good guy and has the spirit of this project, I think, in his heart, you know. And He's not native, but he's actually married to a Cherokee woman out here in Oklahoma. But he understands the concept of this, and I try to explain the depth of importance of each action we take. But one thing that he's working on doing is making it interactive so that, on the website itself, a person's going to be able to hover over a name or click on a name, and it'll bring up a bio of that tribe from the tribe's own historic perspective. And it also will provide links like to their website or whatever educational online resources that the tribe itself deems as, acceptable to them. And maybe some other links, I'm not sure, but that's kind of my that'll be the final thing that I can think. On top of right now, we're creating a map of like all of what one would call Turtle Island or North America, all of our homelands from Alaska to Mexico. I'm working on that, like a complete map that erases all borders, state and country, and just kind of shows, how many nations were here. There's going to be at least 1,300 or 1,400 names on that map. And that's kind of where it's kind of heading right now.
Can we go back a little bit and talk a little bit about how you got involved? And I know, because I'm speaking to you on the phone, and I just want our relatives to know that you've traveled in a lot of these places, and you've talked to the elders or the people there, and you got input from the tribes. I want to talk a little bit about that. Can you share a little bit with that?
Yeah, and part of the fact that our cultures are more oral than got to write it down. I'm just now starting a bibliography, actually, of each name and where I came across that information. And a lot of it was interviewing elders, like you're telling me, or like you're reminding me. I've been to probably about 250 reservations or tribal communities across the United States and then parts of Canada, also parts of Mexico. And every time I get the chance to travel, if there's a reservation or a Indian museum within some type of, reasonable range, like I try to make sure that I go there and, talk to people from cultural departments and, like language departments, any elders that might be available. I try to schedule appointments ahead of time as people kind of give me suggestions of who to talk to. Some of these names definitely are names that, that haven't been on maps before. And I also have a link on my website that gives a definition of what these names mean in the languages themselves. And it's kind of a work in progress too, but a lot of those definitions have not really been out there yet. So those, the ones that I've been given permission to give a definition for are there. And I definitely, I've traveled because I was in the American Indian movement doing, basically activist, occupations and all kinds of different events that we were invited to. That was probably my first kind of time where I got out of California and just really went to all these communities across many states. But since then, I've done a lot of traveling specifically for this project to new places.
You used a word that some of our listeners know, but I like to, whenever I hear a Native brother or sister use it, it's protocol. And how you've gotten permission with some things, and that's why they're on the maps, and you didn't get permission to do it with others, so you're following that protocol, and I think that's amazing. And that's one of the things that... that I really like to stress whenever I can, that we follow a certain protocol, a way of life, a life way, and I know that you've been doing that, and to share these names that like you said have never been on a map before. Can we give a couple, for instance, which ones that that I know that they're. When an artist does their work, everything's their baby. But there's a certain story you can, behind one that you can share with our listeners.
Just starting out with the name Cherokee itself. The real name is so different. It's Aniyumwiya, and that name has been out in understood since, you know, probably the 1800s when, like, James Mooney was writing books about our people. But it's not a name that's really used that much anymore. Even, you know, within the Cherokee boundary in Oklahoma, all you hear is Cherokee. It's like the political name now. You know, it's the name that is acceptable, and only really the traditional people use that word. And even then, there's a traditional name for the Cherokee people. The people that follow the way of life of a Cherokee is different than Anyunwia. And that's a name that, you know, I was told probably wouldn't be good to put on a map, because it's really only for those that understand that way of life to even be saying. So that's an example. I put Anyunwia because that's acceptable. That means like the true people or the principal people. Usually you'll see like Talagi or Jalagi, however people pronounce it. And that's actually, it's different from Cherokee, but it's actually a Choctaw word that they gave it. So that's not really a true name either, because that's not really from the Cherokee language. There are other examples. For example, one of the tribes that are part of the Warm Springs people up in Oregon, I think the way to pronounce it is Wat'tyalinsum, and it's kind of on the straddling the Oregon and Washington border. The translation I was given for that name from an elder at their cultural center, I have never been able to find that translation anywhere else. And what this elder told me was that it means the place at the rock bed, and it refers to the location that their people lived on a certain section of a river, and that name ties them to that location, ties them to their sacred areas, and just basically means, you know, those people that live at, you know, the part of the river that where there's a rock bed. And traditional people, he was explaining, from that tribe, go to that place today still. You know, and they bring their grandkids and say, hey, this is one of our main villages right here. And that connects them. And that knowing that name and what it means, forms part of your identity. If you don't know that name and you just want to go by, you know, like, I'm a Warm Springs tribal member, that has significance too, but it doesn't get to the depth of who you are.
I think it's important to know the names that the places that that we now all call home. And I think that for myself, the earth responds to the traditional names in a way that English can't comprehend or I don't know really the word I'm using, but the original language that speaks to the area and that we're on. You know, I know when I hear the songs of the land here, I can feel the earth in a different place. To me, it's more of a heart connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that what you're saying, I it's very true to me, that the more that we know of the land that we're on, I think it's just important. It goes to what you said, to the bones, to the DNA,
mm-hmm.
of who we are as people and indigenous people. But it's really, really cool. And so I know that your life has been busier more and more since you've done fewer interviews than you've been getting your name out there. But what's on the horizon for yourself? I know that you're living back in Cherokee country, and we talk a little bit about those things that you're involved in other than the map.
Yeah, well, like you said earlier, you know, I just had a son who turned 6 months old the other day, and that definitely changes you for sure. So, you know, one of the things that I'm looking towards right now is, right now, you know, he's not able to talk yet, but, you know, kids understand language and the nuance of language, and, you know, they need to hear it from the womb. And so one of the things I've done, along with my fiance, is we try to use the Cherokee language with him as much as possible. We use it on a daily basis, but not just, you know, a couple words here and there, but, you know, complete sentences where he can hear the inflection and the intention behind certain things we're asking him to do or certain things we're showing him. So the Cherokee language is really right now forefront of our lives in a very literal way, because we don't want this time to pass where he gets older and, you know, he's 2 years old and doesn't understand any of it. So we're getting a jump on that. We're thinking of staying here in Oklahoma just to take him to the language immersion school. That's the capital city of the Cherokees, called Tahlequah. We're seriously considering staying here just basically for him to have that experience and to basically grow up in his own community. That's one thing that's going on. Another thing is we've met elders in this area and we're trying to learn more about the Cherokee way of life. And there's a lot of nature out here to do, you know. So like for fun, we go to the river and we go, you know, floating on a raft on the weekends and things, and just kind of enjoy that in Oklahoma, you know, most of the rivers and things are still pure here. Companies aren't dumping into them like in a lot of other parts of the country. So in a way, although they brought all these tribes here on the Trails of Tears from so many directions around the country, you know, somehow there being that many natives in one place, I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it's just more open here, you know. Kind of an open country feel. And, you know, this is kind of off topic, but, you know, here there aren't reservations except for one tribe. The Osage Nation has a reservation. And the rest of the reservations were terminated shortly before statehood, 1907. And that's very unfortunate. So what you get is you get, you know, a lot of natives and a lot of non-natives all living around each other in cities and towns that are within the jurisdiction of larger tribes. So like where we live, it's about 35% native. Most of the towns here average about that many people that are native. But then there's pockets of strongholds here too of, you know, towns have, you know, 80, 90% native people. And, you know, that's kind of the places we like to go visit, because it's more, even more pristine, you know, and there's more cultural things to do, and gives you a sense of belonging.
Absolutely. And so as you travel through Indian country, I know that we've shared a little bit, and you're learning the life way and your map's evolving and things are being added. And so for us, how do we help, or how do we get involved with the project that you're in? Because I know that you're busy, and I know that as things progress, you were telling me that your life is getting busier and busier, and of course, you know, everything costs these days. But I think that the map itself should be in the schools. Are you working at it to get it in the schools? Anything like that that we could help generate this happening for all of us?
Yeah. One of the main things that people can help with is I am constantly looking for schools and other Native organizations that could use maps like these that I could donate them to. That's what I've been able to do since the NPR did a piece on my maps. And since that happened, I've just been flooded with orders. And what that allowed me to do is purchase, you know, in bulk from the printing companies, which lowered my cost and which also opened up the opportunity for me to give away a lot of these. So I send them to a lot of tribal schools and even small tribal offices like around Canada. I've been mailing a bunch up to Canada with my Canada version. But then also I've been sending some to, you know, kind of more, I hate to use the term poverty stricken, but some of the more, you know, I guess poorer schools around reservations in this country where they don't maybe have a lot of casino money or a lot of, you know, development money. But yet they could use something like this for their children, you know. And I think a lot of those places specifically have more of a problem of, you know, identity crisis, I think, because there isn't really the emphasis. You know, there's so much negative influence from the outside world that is maybe corrupting some of our tribal communities, and it's making us kind of off our foundation. And so, you know, I hope that things like this map, or, you know, good guidance counselors or traditional elders, you know, it's all little pieces of the puzzle to make these kids grow up with a good, strong sense of identity and pride. So, yeah, to get back to the answer, if anyone could contact me, and I'm sure you'll give out my contact information, about schools specifically that could use these, that would be awesome. Another thing is, if people have if they are able to look over the PDF versions of my map, where you can zoom in and really look really closely, if anyone has suggestions of things that I probably should change, or have questions about why I did something a certain way, I need that. I need to be challenged and asked, you know, how did you do this? And, you know, maybe something will come about that where maybe I've omitted a tribe, you know, for some reason it's not there and I need to add it. So those are things that people could do for me if they get the chance.
Absolutely. I know a few schools around here would love to have the map, and I think it would help with the, again, like there's a large reconciliation happening on a larger scale, and mm-hmm. being able to have this map to have a reference to, I think it would be great for kids, as my wife would say, you know, as our kids are growing, creating allies, and you know, having them understand about the place that they're calling home, and that there were people here long before people came over here, and this is what it was to them. I think it's really super important. Is there I know that you have a Facebook presence with the maps. Do we have that offhand? I do have it on my, if people want to go to my webpage, it's ravenredbone.wordpress.com, and it's the top one there in that post, but trying to locate it as we talk, but we got about...
Yeah, my Facebook page, I haven't quite gotten sophisticated enough to have my own. I do have my own separate page just for the maps, but pretty much I just use my personal one for everything. You just go to facebook.com/Aaron.Carapella, and that will bring you to my page. And so anyone, you know, feel free to contact me there, or by phone, or my website is tribalnationsmaps.com. You can find my contact info there too, and you know, give me some feedback, or give me some, you know, addresses, and maybe who to send some of these maps to.
Absolutely, and like I said, we got about 8 more minutes or so. I just want to give you a chance to share if there's something on your heart that you want to share with our relatives. I'm really grateful that you're doing this work. I think it's important, like I said before several times tonight, but I just really believe in the healing and the reconciliation, and that is happening, and to be able to have a reference to America before it was America, I think is really important, and that everyone, I love how you're asking for all of us to become part of this map. It's I think it's important.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I guess I'm the one that's orchestrating this project, but really, I mean, without all that help that I've gotten already, this wouldn't exist at all. You know, maybe 50 years ago, a lot of tribes, elders were kind of more closed mouth about some of the stuff that they revealed out to the public, and I think I would have come across more people that said, you know, we know our name, we don't need the outside world to know our name. But I think nowadays a lot of elders are realizing that some of their own grandchildren don't know their traditional name, or, you know, just the basic name itself. I mean, that's a starting place. And another thing that you just reminded me of is I have several versions of these maps. One version, which is my favorite version, which is really the one I wanted to stick to in the beginning, was an open concept where there are no state borders at all, not even country borders, just an open landmass showing where our nations were, kind of centralizing the names in the middle of their traditional territory and just leaving it at that with no reference to common names that we would know from Hollywood movies or anything. But as this project proceeded over time, I got a lot of Native educators specifically and a lot of non-Natives that said, you know, I want to use this for students that need a reference point. They need a way to correlate, you know, this tribe has a real name and this is what the name is. And if they don't see that name that they recognize, then it's not going to, you know, they're not going to really be able to learn fully from it. So I did develop one that has state lines within the United States and province lines within Canada, and they do show the Native and given names, but the given names I guess give less credence to because they're in a smaller font below their real name. And I want people to understand that that's not an act of, attempting to be colonial on my part, which I've had some people criticize some of the versions of this map, and they call them colonial. Really, what it is, it's a stepping stone towards being anti-colonial. And people have the option to get that map if they want it. And that's really the ultimate goal, to remove those. I mean, my own map that I have that I made in my own house on the wall has none of those lines, because that's what I envision as our country, you know, our homelands. That's what I wanted to make clear. I just really appreciate, you know, any input people could give me, and I appreciate people taking the time, because, you know, I'm just a regular human being that, you know, came up with an idea that, you know, I didn't even think really was unique until I got to working on it over time and realized, you know, there was kind of a need for this.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you taking time this evening to share with our relatives, and I hope that we can do this again in the future as things progress for you.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, any time I'm open. So, you know, this is a project for the people. So I would love to talk to you again.
All right, well, appreciate that, and I hope that you have a good evening, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Brian, have a good one.
Yeah, you
Take
too.
Take care, everyone.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.